As I just prayed, one of the things, the whole purpose of studying, when we said, let's study the course and go through these different groups, one of the two reasons. One is that we would be grounded in what we believe. We know what we believe and why we believe it. We're able to go to the Scripture and say, here's what we believe about Christ and salvation of the Bible. Here's what we believe, how these things fit together. Second goal or the plan is that we'd be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us, that we'd be able to answer that and to be ready to do that. Well, we're looking at what we call Christian Science, and we went through it last week, and you know, we always look, get a little background, we talk about the doctrine, and we talk about how to witness. We said the Christian Science was founded by a person, her name was actually Mary Ann Morris Baker Glover Patterson Eddy. She was married three times. Three of her husbands died. She was sick when she was younger. In fact, most of her life, she was ill, sickness, weak in the body in that sense. And so that developed with the idea that, you know, maybe there's not sickness. Maybe there's not death. Maybe we shouldn't even think about this. She met a man by the name of Dr. P.P. Quimby. He was what they called a drugless healer. He said that all sickness could be traced to the mind. She got with him. He actually said that he would use electrical transference so he could take people's illness and put them on himself. She became a fan of hers. He became a fan. She became a fan of his, and then he became a fan of hers. Then he died. After he died, she began writing. And she wrote books called Science and Health and The Keys to the Scripture. And in 1879, she formed what is called the Church of Christ Science. And I made sort of a joke last week about it, that we call it Christian Science, but it's a lot like grape nuts. Grape nuts is neither grapes nor nuts, and Christian Science is neither Christian nor science. And so it all fits together. It is true. And you just got to look at this stuff and realize that when you look at these cults, so we've seen the Mormons, we've seen the Jehovah's Witnesses, now we're seeing Christian Science. Next week we're going to look at Unitarian Universalists. That's who we're going to look at. And you go, Unitarian Universalists, what do they believe? Well, we'll see. Basically, they believe anything other than Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about it. But you find groups that think they have an answer, or it's somebody, because we've been saying a cult is a group that's following after a person or a group of people or something, and they come up with their ideas. And here's Mary Baker Eddy, and she came up with her ideas about what she believed. What we talked about the Bible, I think, how they viewed the Bible. Here's what she said. God has been gracious in giving me His final revelation of the absolute divine principles of scientific mental healing. She believed that God gave her revelation that would deal with divine healing. And that's what she writes. The material of the Bible, she says, is really no more important than the history of Europe or America. So when we study the Bible is just a history book, but what she got from God was divine truth, and it was to the divine truth about healing. And let me just read a couple of quotes for you. I mentioned these last time. She said that the revelation of the truth and the understanding came to me gradually and through divine power. She wrote that in Science and Health, that in one of her writings. She also wrote that the voice of truth has been uncontaminated. You know, she's got the uncontaminated revealed truth from God. That's what she says. That's what she said. They would like for you to think that she's still alive, since they don't believe that there's death is actually true. And we talked a little bit about that last time. When they think about the Bible, we know that the Bible says all scriptures inspired by God is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We know that the Bible is from God and is perfect and true. They said that that you would look at the Bible, but you have to interpret the Bible and see things from the Bible based on the writings of Mary Baker Eddy or the writings of Christian scientists. That's sort of the thing. The second part is, this is where we just got into, is how do they view Christ? And they say that Jesus Christ is really a human being. In fact, it was a man, Jesus, but he had the Christ idea, that Christ was a divine idea. There was this idea that there was a Christ, and that Jesus, as he walked on this earth, he got the idea that he was something unique that God had given to him. He's not God, but he was a spiritual idea. Writing in Science and Health, she wrote, Christ is the ideal truth that comes to heal sickness and sin through Christian Science. That's what she said. Let me give you some more quotes. I've found some places of what they wrote and what they said. If I can find them all. May take a second. Well, I can't find my number. Oh, here it is. Here's what she says about Christ. Learn what made Jesus the Messiah. He was given the Spirit of God without measure. It is this wisdom which makes him the way shower and the life and the truth. Now, she said that Jesus was a man who was given a spirit, the spirit without measure, the Spirit of God, which is part of this Christ idea. Then she goes on and says, is Jesus God? He certainly knew God to be his life and his mind and his father mother. He did not call himself God. When one of his disciples said to him, my God and my Father, Jesus didn't say, I'm not God. He knew that he was just one with God in being. He knew man to be in the image of God and the reflection of God and the expression of God. So if you said to Mary Baker Eddy, do you think Jesus Christ is God? She'd say, he's not really God, but he's really a reflection of God in some way, that he knew God to be in his life and his mind, and that the Father, Mother, God, because she didn't say God. She'd say the Father, Mother, God, and that he was just made to be like God in that sense. He had the God, the divine image of God. We said that when they think about it, there's not a Trinity in the sense like the Scripture talks about. They really say there's three parts. There's life, there's truth, there's love. There's God the Father and Mother, and there's Christ, who is really a spiritual idea. And then the Holy Spirit is the divine comforter and the sides. That the Holy Spirit is probably not God, of course, and not Spirit, but it's sort of the power by which maybe you can be healed. And the Bible teaches the opposite. The Bible teaches there is a Trinity. There's the God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ from the beginning has always existed as God at a point in time in history. He left the glories of heaven, Philippians chapter 2, and became a human being. He's the God-man. And so when you start thinking about what people write and say, sometimes they'll put things, and this is what's dangerous about the cults. And we saw it when we did the Mormons and we did the Jehovah's Witnesses. They say things that almost sound right, or that if a person didn't know, it sounds right. And a person say, well, that sounds right to me. Christian Science teaches this, that sin and sickness and death are effects of error of believing that they exist. The problem is that if you say there's sin, then you've actually said that it exists. So what you must do is you must recognize that it doesn't exist. There is no sin in death and sickness. You must recognize they do not exist. Jesus was a great man, inspired by the idea of Christ, not that he was the Messiah and the Savior. The cross of Christ was not a means to save people from death. She states, the material blood of Jesus was no more effective to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cross than when it was flowing through his veins as he went about his daily Father's business. She said the blood of Christ has no effect whatsoever. He was just a person. He was just a guy going around and had a divine idea. The idea of salvation. There's no such thing as sickness or death. This is the third part. There's no such thing as sin and sickness, death, or disease. God created all things good. Everything is good. If you think that there's something bad, if you think there is sin, if you think there is sickness, if you think that there's disease, that's because you're thinking incorrectly. And the only way to deal with sin is to deny that it actually exists. That's part of it. Is there anything you ever want to say? Because did you say you were brought up Christian Science? So anytime that there's something that you would like to let us know that maybe to help clarify, get it more.
Exactly what you're saying is exactly what we were taught. You know? And the thing was that the worst part was in their services, when they would teach from the Bible, nothing was in context, because they would just take a verse here and a verse there and a verse. So you never were encouraged to read the Bible. It was always you just read Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, because that was what was important. Because the Bible, you would just get just little verses here and there, and then they would expand on that. So you had no idea how it fit.
So did you remember hearing that Christ really was a divine idea, and that?
Oh yeah, that's yeah. It. Yeah, there was always, they separated Jesus from Christ all the time. Jesus was the man, and Christ was this spiritual thing. I mean,
this is an idea. This is how we should. Yeah, it's amazing. And the thing that you notice is that in all cults, it always goes to their revelation one way or the other. Because if you actually stayed with the Bible, and if you actually had people actually read the Bible, they will get the truth. So when you have the Mormons, you have separate writings. When you have the Jehovah's Witnesses, you have separate writings. When you have Christian Science, you have separate writings. When you have Unitarian Universalist, you have no writings. Because you don't want to hold anything. You don't want to say anything is accurate. You just deny it all. And we'll see when we get to Tom Cruise and Eckhart Tolle and all of those, Shirley MacLaine and all these people. We're going to talk what they believe. It's not going to go back to the Scripture, because the truth is this. Anytime people deal with Scripture, they will see truth. And I mean actually deal with the Scripture, not a verse out of context. Yeah, go ahead.
One last thing I'd say, there was never, ever a salvation message. I mean, never. In fact, my mother, up until the last few years of her life, every time we were with her, she'd ask Sue and I, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I hope that everything's okay. And, well, Mom, and we'd give her the gospel message. I said, do you believe that? Yes. The next time we'd see her, I hope I'm, because she had no basis. She had no foundation for salvation, because they never taught that.
Mm.
It was really sad.
It's really sad, because in Christian Science, the basis of salvation is to deny the fact that you need a Savior, deny the fact that there's sin, sickness, or anything. So you don't really, to think about heaven is, well, the only way I can think about heaven is I have to say there really is no sin. And there's a part of it. I hope I can find it. Let me see if I can. She wrote, this is her writing. Jesus is alleged to have survived the cross. He didn't die on the cross. I'll get to that in just a minute. I want to get this. Here it is. They believe that sickness and death are intrinsically evil themselves. This explains why Christian Science rejects drugs and human medicine. Drugs are material attempts at curing only what spiritual can heal. Was your mother sick toward the end?
Yeah.
Did she take any medicine or anything?
She gave into that. For about 50 years, she wouldn't go to a doctor. She wouldn't do anything. And she was marvelously healthy. But she broke her wrist, fell and broke her wrist, and had to go to a doctor for that. And then we finally got her taking a few things. She had eye surgery and some things. And so towards the end, she still would read Science and Health, but we started taking her to Calvary Chapel and doing things with her.
Yeah.
And so she was listening to exactly how you teach. So, and she seemed to enjoy that. So.
Well, good. I hope she trusted Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
We went through that with her.
Good, good. You don't have a Savior, because there's no sin or sickness, and you must deny the fact. That's why you can't take medicine. Many of them do not take medicine. I talked to somebody the other day that said that so many of them that they might could have lived longer if they'd have taken some type of medicine that would help them. But you can't take medicine, because if you take medicine, you're actually saying there's something wrong with you. And there can't be something wrong with you if there's no sin or sickness or disease. That's why Mary Baker Eddy, that the sad thing about her life is that she was sick all of her life, and she wanted to deny the fact that she was sick. And I told you the story last week about my dad, and I'll just say it real quick. The Dallas Seminary prof went to one of the big places in Dallas, Christian Science, and he went in and asked to speak to Mary Baker Eddy, because she's been dead a long time. And he went in and asked, and the lady behind the counter did not want to say Mary Baker Eddy is dead. So she said, she's not here. And so my professor said, I'll just wait. And he sat down. And, he waited for just a little bit. And I think the lady was going, what am I supposed to say to this man? He's sitting here waiting for Mary Baker Eddy. And so he gets up again and says, has she come back yet? And the lady finally said, no, no. And he said, well, look, where is she? And finally she said, well, she's passed away. And he said, don't forget it. Don't forget it. There is death. There is sickness. There is sin. I mean, where did sickness come from? Where did sickness come from? Where do we have? Why are we sick? Why do people get sick and die? Why is there physical things? What's wrong? How did this happen? From the fall. See, when Adam sinned, Romans 5:12 is through one man, Adam, sin into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all for all sin. The whole human race has fallen. There is sickness and disease. God told Adam in the garden, in the day that you eat from that tree, what did he say? Die and you shall surely die. In Hebrew, it's really dying, you'll really die. But the idea there is dying spiritually, you'll die physically. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. And when mankind sinned and we're fallen human beings, we come into the world dead in trespasses and sins. Everyone was coming to this world with sin and sickness and disease and everything. It's because of the fall. And to deny that is saying, I don't need a Savior. See, if there's no fall and no sin or sickness, you don't need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. So as far as salvation is concerned, they said sin is an illusion. It's not real. Josh McDowell said this. He said, if sin is only an illusion, how can it be destroyed? Because they'll say we need to destroy sin. Well, if it's not real, why do you need to destroy it? Yes.
If they don't believe in death, how do they explain death? Is it something that happens to Christian scientists that weren't living a Christian science life? They didn't live good enough or something? Or do they just totally ignore the obvious that person's dead?
Here's what Mary Baker Eddy said, that to help a little bit. You will never die. Continuing of life is being assured that once we accept Jesus, now listen how she puts it, to be the Son of God and the one who shows us how to have a quality and to qualify for life through spiritual mindedness and living. It's no mystery. It's just God's love for this world made plain. Paul says, work out your own salvation. Jesus' three-day work in the tomb set the seal of eternity on time. She wrote, because of his resurrection, now it's not bodily. She didn't believe in the bodily resurrection because Jesus was just this man. He didn't die, see? When she says resurrection, she doesn't mean he died and rose, because I'm going to quote for you in a minute that Jesus is survived the cross. Jesus healed himself with no medicine, bandages, or surgery. They thought he was dead, but Jesus overcame the law of matter in healing himself from a near-death experience. That's what she teaches. And so, Ms. Eddy writes, because of his resurrection, not his physical resurrection in the sense that he died and rose again, but that he healed himself, we shall not die even if our body seems to. She said, it may look like we die. People may look at us and go, I think they're dead. No, they're not dead. It may look like they're dead. We will continue to live and learn and love God and man. Where are they? Right? So you've got a group that believes that there's no sin, sickness, anything. Jesus never died, as I just read that. He's hidden in the sepulcher and then came back out because he healed himself. She wrote that one sacrifice is insufficient to pay for the debt of sin. This is a man-made theory. That's what she said. You can't say that Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin, because the blood of Jesus Christ is nothing. He had a Christ idea. He was a normal man. And what happened to him? He learned to heal himself. When they put him in a tomb, he got himself well. He never was dead. He never died completely. And you don't have to either. Just ignore and realize that sin isn't real. Yes. Well, what they said is, right, she says that it seems, even though it seems to be that you die, you really don't die. They bury their bodies, but they really don't die because, there's an idea here that it's the soul. She writes about the soul, and she says the soul is the key. Let me see if I can find another one of her statements about the soul. Jesus overcame the laws of all matter. He healed himself from the near-death experience. He shed his material existence and revealed only his soul. So remember this, that Jesus himself, that person, he wasn't the Messiah anyway, because the Messiah is the Christ idea. That's the soul idea. So even when somebody dies, in their minds, they're saying they're not really dead because there's a soul, and that there was no sickness or death. It just looked that way. I mean, you've got to know that when you start a group that says that there's no death or sin or sickness, and then people start dying, you've got to figure out a way to answer that, right? I mean, you say, well, they may look dead, but they're not dead. No, they don't. They don't.
They believe like we do, faith in Christ Jesus gives you eternal life, but they believe that the soul is always going to live.
No, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who's the Savior that gives you eternal life. They don't believe that. They would say Jesus is good, he's the divine idea, but he's not the Savior, and that his death on the cross doesn't save anybody. What saves you, and is this right here, I think the next slide will do it. Man is already saved with an everlasting salvation, not by somebody else's effort, not by Christ or Jesus' effort. You're already saved. How? The next slide tells us a little bit. Salvation, only those who repent of sin. This is how they write it. But to repent of sin means to deny that it exists and forsake all evil, fully understands the unreality of evil. Look, if evil doesn't exist, how do you forsake it? Right? It's saying forsake all evil, but just realize it doesn't exist because it's the unreality of evil. Yes.
They close every service with 1 John 3:1-3. And basically because it talks about, see how great the love of the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And it goes on to say, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it's not appeared what we will be, but we know we see him, we'll be like him. And so they just think it's going to be like that. They just, like this says, you're always, everybody's saved.
Everybody's saved because if you get, you're saved if you get to the point where you say, there is no sin, sickness, or disease. I'll have to learn the technique. That's why you have the reading rooms. That's why you have science and health. You have to learn the technique of getting to the point where you can deny the reality of all of this and you're okay. I think there's another. Is there another slide? We conquer sin by denying its truth. Never admit that there is sin. It does not exist. This is victory over sin. I know a lot of people that would like to say there is no sin. I'd like to say it on a few days myself. How about you? I don't think that was sin. I don't think I did that. I don't think that's true. I want to find one more quote if I can find it. Well, I imagine they're okay because they don't really die. Remember, there's really no sin or sickness. If one denies the reality of pain due to its material nature, one may be delivered from such pain. If you deny there is pain, you can be delivered from pain. We read in Science and Health, the dream that matter and error are something must yield to reason and revelation. The mortals will hold the nothingness of sickness, and sin and sickness will disappear from the conscience. Every Christian Science believes that pain is an illusion. So if you deny pain, sickness, death, sin, sorrow, those things, then eventually you're going to learn how to have victory over it, and that's salvation. And then you're saved if you do that. That's what they believe. Yes. Well, I don't know a lot about the Church of the Firstborn. I know that they have some beliefs that are similar to that. But what we may have to do is I'd have to get more information on Church of the Firstborn to be able to compare it. Yeah. Yes.
This may be very naive, but it seems to me in the classes that we've been taught about thus far, the cults, that Jesus has a thread through all of them, and they all feel the need to deny him, make him lower than he is, which to me makes him so powerful that they feel like they have to give some kind of understanding or reason.
I think you hit exactly perfect. When we started the study, we said that there are most cults use Jesus in some way, but they can't look at him as who he really is, the Son of God, who's the Savior, died and rose again. They can't do that because it's against what they're coming up with. So they take Jesus and change him. They either make him a good man, or they make him a god, or they make him a man who became a god. I mean, they change him in some way or another. And we're going to see it in almost every group that Jesus is the name. Let me tell you, you can say Christ, you can say God, you can say it all day long and it doesn't bother people. You can get in groups of people who believe different things and you can say, God is great. And everybody claps and cheers. You say, Jesus Christ is the Savior. And they will look at you and say, don't you say that. Because the name Jesus is the name above every name. In the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will give praise. Jesus Christ is the name above all names. I've told y'all this story. I was in the AUM. It used to be called Association University Ministers. Now it's the Interfaith Council. I was there about 10 years ago. And I remember a lady from a Unitarian, we're going to look at the Unitarians next week, stood up and said, I would like to ask a request of people, would you mind not using the name Jesus? It offends me. You may use the name God, but don't use the name Jesus. It offends me. Because the name Jesus is the name above all names, and it does offend people. No, I didn't walk out. I started to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. What have we seen? We got to get through, right? Don't we have to get through? It's time. That was the second bell or the first bell? That was the second? Okay, very quickly. They say hell, sin makes its own hell. Heaven is automatically good and it makes its own heaven. We've seen the background of the woman. We saw where she got her teaching from. She claims direct revelation from God. God created all things good. They have extra revelation. Jesus is a good man with a Christ idea, and the way of salvation is to deny sin. They say repent of sin, which means to deny it, forsake evil, and do good. Now, here are the three things about witnessing. Use the Bible only, not any of the writings of Mary Baker Eddy or Christian Science or any of that. Just go back to the Scripture, because oftentimes, since the Scripture is alive and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword and goes right to the heart of the issue, when you use the Scripture, oftentimes the Scripture can convict people and they can see the truth. Number two, show them that they've all sinned. Everybody sinned, and that people die. Just tell them, hey, you've done wrong. Everybody done wrong. Sin is real. It's not something you can just say, oh, as long as I don't believe it's real, it's not real. Doesn't work that way. And show that people die. There is death. Where's Mary Baker Eddy? That's the question you ask. Where is she? And then the third thing is, tell them that salvation is a gift. It's by faith. It's not works. It's not what we've done. It's simply faith alone. There are all kind of groups. Next week we're going to get another one. We'll go, I think, you know, we can go faster through some of these. I think when we get to what I call the New Age people, we'll spend the more time there, because we're going to hit three or four of those different groups at one time, going from Eckhart Tolle and L. Ron Hubbard and people like that. We'll get those guys. Okay, I think time's up. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord. Help us as we are getting ready, Lord, to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that's in us. Help us to be grounded in what we believe, know what we believe and why. Let us be ready, Lord. Thank you for these truths. Lord, our hearts break for people who are involved in these groups. And we know that some of them, they just don't know any different at all. Use us, Lord, in your grace to proclaim the good news message of Christ clearly so people can know it and trust in Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.